Hello and welcome to the Worn and Wound podcast. My name is Blake Bettner. I am in studio with super producer Josh. Josh, how's it going?
Doing real good, man. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a good week. And we've also got Zach Kazan in the computer. Zach, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Zach, have you bought any new watches recently?
I'm trying to think. I definitely have since the last time I was on the podcast. I'm trying to think of what watches I picked up. It's kind of a flurry of activity in the last
every time I turn open Instagram, I feel like I see a new watch in there from.
Yeah, so I'm wearing a new acquisition currently.
Let's dive into it. What do you got on your wrist?
The Chrono Tokyo release that came out earlier in the year.
So you got a colorful watch on. Teal? It's a teal.
No, this is the like the copper salmon colored dial. Okay. It's actually like more red than I was expecting. It's really beautiful color. I'm gonna write this up for the site. I've been wearing it quite a bit.
We got a thing for red watches today. Josh has like a blazing red.
Oh yeah,
watch on over there. Yeah, it's like the crystal is.
Yeah, the
pink.
The crystal's pink. It's the MK1 California pink that I bought for my wife. It ended up being my watch actually.
Dude, yeah. It looks cool. And it's on like a dark green strap or something like that. It looks pretty cool. And the case is like kind of black PVD.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bronze, like a brown bronzes color. So
yeah, I like that. I like that. I'm wearing a Tudor FXD, the Tudor fixed. This is a Pelagos. This is the latest Pelagos done in collaboration, I guess, with for the Marine Nationale, the French Navy. Boy, I tell you what. I like this watch.
Watch of the year, according to some.
Yes, let's shout out our friend Jack Forster over at Hodinkee. He put up an article that this might be the best release of the year. I don't know if it was just from Tudor or just period. But I gotta say, I'm in his corner here. I think I put it in minimally top five. I had kind of a soft spot for this watch when it came out, and we hadn't had a chance to go hands on until just this week, and it has made quite an impression on me. I like it quite a bit, and as I suspected, it wears I don't know. I guess not as big as the dimensions would say, right?
Because it has like a lug to lug of over 50 millimeters, but from what I understand, it doesn't wear nearly as large as you'd expect.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's got the fixed spring bars like bow out. So, and those kind of sit underneath the lowest point of the case back. So technically, if you take it from the absolute widest point, it is that. But if you actually measure like from the lug tip to the lug tip that you see, it's like a hair under 50 millimeters, according to my calipers at least. So, and then the bezel assembly kind of flares a little bit out from the case. So the actual case itself, and it's a bit thinner. I'm telling you, this thing wears really nice, and I'm kind of digging this strap too, the hook and loop.
It looks good with the strap. It does.
I'm telling you. But the one thing that I really like about this watch was a few things, but one thing that hit me in person seeing it, the dial itself looks like it's like plastered to the underside of the crystal. So I don't know if that's how they, they kind of redesigned the Rayhot and those applied hour markers. It looks like it's like HD view of the dial. It's hard to describe, but when you see it, it's like there's something different about this. And I was looking at a few of the other watches in my watch box, and all the dials are kind of like set deep in into the thing. And in this one, it's like, you know, it's right there. I like this. this could be a thing.
That's a nice effect. I like it when it almost looks like there isn't even a crystal there sometimes. Like I've had watches like that.
The Sinew 50 is like that too. I mean, you'd swear you could put your finger right into the thing. If there's no sun glare or whatever on it, if you're just looking directly at it, you'd swear there's nothing there. And it's the same with this. Cool. It just looks like it's the dial just sitting there, and it's all matte. So it's like, it's just incredible legibility on this. It's a real treat to wear, and the bezel's funky, and I like that. And it goes both ways. which is weird.
Doesn't have the countdown, same kind of like super satisfying tactile clicking feel that the other Pelagos has.
Oh, we're getting you can hear it. Hold on.
I guess kind of. Yeah. So Zach Weiss, he's not here right now, but he's got something cooking that is going to be really cool for, what is it? ASMR. ASMR. With like watch sound. It's going to be awesome. We'll have to put bezels like this in there. It's got a nice satisfying crunch to it. So anyways, yes, I am quite fond of the FXD. We'll have a lot more on this coming to the site soon. So if you have any questions, concerns, complaints, offenses about it, send them my way, and we'll talk about them in the review. And we'll probably get some kind of video cooking up on this thing as well. We are about heading into holiday season. I think a lot of people start traveling this time of year. Zach, are you traveling for the holidays?
No, not. I traveled for Thanksgiving, but I don't have any travel plans for the upcoming Christmas holiday. I will be hunkering down, I think.
Wow, I'm very envious of you. Do you do like a Friendsgiving or a Friends whatever up there, and then do everybody cook something different?
Yeah, so I'm Jewish, so we kind of had like a family Hanukkah celebration.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know, right after like Thanksgiving holiday. But it's like Christmas for me is all about like take out Chinese food and go into the movies and, you know, just kind of like a nice relaxing day off. I love it. It's one of my favorite like times of the year, but it certainly does not involve any travel.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. I'm very envious of you there. I've got kids and in-laws and all this stuff. So this is generally like the most stressful time of year for me because it involves traveling every which way. And you got to see everybody, and I'll relax in January, I guess. Josh, you traveling?
Usually I am traveling during this time of year. I feel like this is the first sort of like Christmas / end of the year time where actually I'm just chilling. I do have my cousin is coming to come visit. She arrives today.
Oh, nice.
And she's going to hang out with me and my wife. I feel like she's more here to hang out with my wife. They've become like best
Fair
friends.
Fair enough. Okay. All right.
So
it's an excuse for good drinks, good food.
Yeah. So I'm actually happy to not be traveling. I mean, I went on vacation not too long ago, so I'm actually I've had a ton of work at the end of the year, so I'm really looking to just chill and relax.
Right on. Well earned. Do you Zach, do you travel with a bunch of watches? Do you pack up a whole roll full or a whole case full, or do you just like put one on your wrist and go?
I mean, I am it depends on the type of traveling that I'm doing and my, you know, final destination. You know, there's certain variables, but generally speaking, I am pretty minimalist when it comes to traveling with watches. I certainly would never pack up like a full roll just for like a normal weekend away or even like a longer vacation. I try not to bring, you know, more than one or two watches. I tend to I'm inclined to like misplace and lose things when I travel, like so many cell phone chargers, it's ridiculous, and headphones and other things, and I would just I figure the watches are safer if they're if they're left at home than if they're, you know, constantly being like taken in and out of a bag or a backpack or something. It could be easily forgotten by me in a hotel room or whatever. So I like to keep it pretty minimal as far as traveling with watches goes, which I know kind of flies in the face of some, some element of watch enthusiasm, but, I have a fear of misplacing something or losing a watch on vacation.
Yeah, and plus for the holidays, you travel with a few watches and you're staying with a relative or whatever, but then you're going to other places to have meals and see other people, so then you have to decide which one to take. Have I talked to you about the George Carlin skit where he's like, you got to take all your stuff. And then if you've got like your stuff away from home, and that's your, you know,
yeah,
you just like pair off smaller bits of your stuff that you take with you. So I like a single watch is nice. And I found that over the years, like I used to, I'll put some time into here. What watches am I going to take with me? All right. I think I've got the perfect like three or four that I'm going to take with, or I'll put the three in the roll and I got one on my wrist and I'm covered for every scenario. And then I found increasingly that I don't really end up ever wearing like one of them the whole time. So eventually I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to put one on my wrist and go, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, certainly for most of the traveling, I do, whether it's, you know, for work or, you know, for pleasure, I very rarely, you know, am in a situation where I would legitimately need more than one watch. Like I've never been in that situation where like I'm going scuba diving, which I don't do. And also going to like a black tie affair, which I also like, don't really,
need.
So like most of my watches are totally appropriate for like just about anything that I would like find myself doing on a, you know, on a vacation or a work trip or whatever. So, you know, I never feel like it's a necessity to have like different watches for different circumstances that I might find myself in. But that's just me. If you're going, you know, on like a diving slash like black tie affair, excursion, then like, I can see why you might want to take like a Submariner and, you know, Patek or something like that makes sense.
Diving slash black tie affair. I like the sound of that.
I don't know how people live, man. Like, who knows?
If that's you, more power to you.
Everyone's James Bond of vacation.
The James Bonds among us. Well, he would just say, we just put a sea dweller on.
Yeah, he'd wear the sub with, or the everything. Yeah.
No big deal. With the sub on an ill-fitting fabric nylon strap with the tuxedo. Right. While you're while you're diving.
As we know, we're not all James Bond. Like, we can't all get away with that. So not recommended if you're just an average, you know, non-spy
person. Yeah, no, I'm with you though, and I like to have a lot of watches that that could fit pretty much anywhere in between those spaces, the extremes. Yeah. You know, I think we've talked about this before. I don't generally go into to try and do too extreme of things all that often. So it's nice to have a watch and kind of not look out of place with whatever you're doing. This Pelagos might be pushing it in a formal situation, in anything more formal than like, I don't know, what I have on now, which I guess is usually what I what I dress in, but you know, if I had to tuck my shirt in, I think maybe that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, that's a big deciding factor. And
if the shirt has to be tucked in with a belt, then it's got to step up beyond the Pelagos. I don't know.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that makes. And there's a certain amount of logic to that, I think.
Yeah. What about you, Josh?
Me, I wish I was like you guys. I always travel with like three or four watches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you like to have options.
I like to.
Do you end up wearing all of them? Then you're like, well, I gotta wear it.
This last Euro trip was probably the first time where I actually like successfully wore every single watch, and and it didn't feel forced either. Like, so like I had my Timex root beer. I had my DW 5600 because I knew I skate, so like that's the watch that I wear when I'm skating.
Yeah. That's the watch Keanu Reeves wore in Speed.
So it's like you need something, you know, you don't feel too precious about and works with whatever I'm wearing. I had my Casio A15A or whatever, which to be honest though, if I could just pick one, you know, for it's a $15-$20 watch, but like it's actually just so super versatile because it's like I wouldn't call it a dress watch by any means, but you can kind of dress that thing up or dress it down. Sure, and because it's not a lot of money, like I also lose a ton of things on vacation all the time. So if I ended up losing that watch, you know, I could always buy another one.
Yeah,
so
you lose it gets broke while you're diving.
Yeah.
You get mugged.
Exactly.
No big deal.
Yeah. Sure. You want that watch? By all means.
Joke's on you, buddy. Well, good for you. That's awesome. I guess as enthusiasts and collectors, maybe we should be. You know what? I want to wear a bunch of watches when I go somewhere. It's part of the experience of it. I don't know.
The exception, I guess the one kind of like obvious exception for me is when I'm traveling to the office in Brooklyn, you know, for work. Like I mean, that's a little bit different, like because it's like it's sort of not an expectation, but like the culturally, like it's, you know, it's normal to just like have a bunch of watches on you, like, you know, whenever. So, so I do find myself, you know, bringing like a roll full of watches when I'm coming into the office.
Yeah. So you don't feel out of place. Cause we've all got watches like strewn about our desks and
there's watches everywhere.
So you can bring your watches and just spread them out on your desk and,
which is similar to my work environment at home too. Like I've got watches kind of like, you know, all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are coming up on the end of the year, of course. Did you make any, what are they called? Resolutions at the beginning? Are you a resolutions kind of guy?
I'm not really a huge resolution guy. I don't, I will sometimes resolve to do things, but like, sure. I don't necessarily like do that exclusively, like at the new year. Like if I want to do something, if I want to like make a resolution, I feel free to do that any time of year.
But, yeah, that's probably a healthy way to look at it.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I did kind of specifically though this year, not necessarily like at New Year's, but just like at a certain point, I just sort of decided like I didn't want to just keep accumulating like a bunch of watches. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. I just kind of went into like a mode where I was going to decided I was going to save money and, you know, kind of just wait until there was something that like I really like, you know, had to have rather than, going through like that impulse buy and flip sort of cycle that so many of us go through. And I feel like I've pretty much stuck to that.
Like you feel pretty good. Like you've goal achieved, accomplished, mission accomplished.
I think so. Yeah. I think I'm in a pretty good place. I certainly didn't go crazy and buy a bunch of stuff that I regret, which is something I've certainly done before and not, it's not a good feeling. So yeah, I think this was a pretty successful, watch purchasing, year for me overall.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get to like, okay, I did a really good job. And then it's like middle of December. You're like, I haven't spent any much all this, I've saved all this money because I haven't bought all these watches. I'm going to splurge and buy five watches before the end of the year here.
Not really. So this year it kind of like it worked out that I just sort of, there were a handful of watches that I kind of had an opportunity to buy at the end of the year that I, you know, decided I really, really wanted. So the Chrono was not something that I ordered when it was released. This was a watch that had a timed release earlier in the year. And I kind of like waffled on it too long and missed out. And a collector friend of mine received his and decided he didn't want it and offered it up to those of us in the collector group for the price he paid for it. And I was just like in the right place at the right time and responded to the message and I got it. And I was, you know, super psyched, to be able to pick that up.
Nice.
And there was a Grand Seiko that was released, about a month or so ago that I saw and decided like it was pretty much exactly the spring drive watch that I was looking for. And, I jumped on that.
Oh, cool.
Jumped on that too. So,
well, that's exciting. So is it going to be the same thing going into next year?
Toolkit is Worn & Wound's column dedicated to pairing everyday carry items with distinctive watches and adventurous activities. This week, we jump to John Gaffney in the cool northeast waters of Maine, where he's putting the Laurier Neptune Series 3 to use alongside select goods from the James brand. Click the link in the description to see the full adventure now live at Worn & Wound. Over to you, John.
All right, get back in the truck here. Get warmed up while we review the first toolkit here. So took the Laurier Neptune out on the Salmon Falls River in southern New Hampshire for a little sunset paddle here, which seemed a fitting way to get a vintage inspired dive watch out for a little aquatic pursuits in the start of winter here. So definitely a really nice watch, you know, nice finishing on it. The elapsed time bezel, really satisfying click to it. Kept me from missing the tide or staying out a little bit too late past sunset, which is not as big of a deal in the summer, but in the winter can get sketchy quickly. So that was good. NATO strap, you know, their pass-through strap that came with it, really comfortable. The weave on it's super nice. Little bit of a stretch getting it over a winter weight wetsuit, fall weight wetsuit here. But, you know, that's not really what that's intended for. So, you know, in the future, going over a wetsuit, I'd have no problem taking that watch out, but probably, you know, wouldn't mind another inch or so on the Laurier strap there. The Ellis ended up coming in handy. Didn't think I'd need to cut anything while I was out on a paddleboard, particularly an inflatable one. The fins can be kind of finicky getting in and out. They've got this little square knot that can be a real pain, especially when your hands are frozen or it's kind of windy. And so the screwdriver was great for getting that out. Yeah, it does appear that I just sat on the Pioneer Carry molecule wallet here in my wetsuit, so that's going to be a little bit damp, but no big deal with that 10XD nylon fabric. That stuff's super nice, really nice hand feel to it. I'm excited to see how it wears in over the coming months, but you know, not a big deal like it would be with a leather wallet. So that concludes the first toolkit here. Thanks to Laurier for backing this. Thanks to the Worn and Wound Shop. And yeah, catch you guys on the next one. See ya.
I think restraint in this hobby is a good thing.
Yeah.
Overall. I have no plans to go crazy and just splurge anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good plan. I think I should probably take a bit of that from you. I've added a few watches to my collection this year, I think. But I've kept them all. I'm trying to think of the last watch I sold. I don't know if I sold any watches in 2021. That could be an achievement in and of itself.
That is its own type of achievement for sure.
Yeah. I do have a watch. I do have some watches though that I don't wear. Nothing super fancy or anything. Maybe we'll do some kind of a giveaway or donation type situation there with those. We'll see about it. So you just said that you have you've gotten into purchases a little too quickly that you may have regretted. Anything that you want to share with us?
Oh man, there's so many. Early collecting days, I don't want to like name specific watches that I didn't like necessarily, if you know people were fans of those watches. I can remember I used to trade watches, like instead of buying and selling, a lot of times people on the forums would offer watches and trade, you know. So I wound up with some watches that I didn't really like in some trades that were not to my advantage, just kind of in the spirit of like wanting to like try something new or unload something.
Yeah. This is something that I see, from time to time on the forum. I see a lot of, watch trade WTT, threads. Yeah. And you know, it'll be something cool or maybe like a bundle of watches. But there's no like specific, I'm looking for this. It's just a, show me what you got. It's like maybe a perpetual line that's just out there. I've always got like kind of a few watches that I've got just sitting out there. If something like really interesting comes along, I don't even know what, maybe a jump on it just because you want to have those different experiences in the hobby. Would you ever do something like that? Just like throw caution to the wind, you know, like let's see what comes at me.
There was a time when I certainly would have done that. But I think at this point in my collecting, I have a better idea of what I like and what I don't like. Mm. So I don't really feel like that's something that I do. And it's just kind of like, I just try to be more purposeful about the watches that I take in. So just kind of like seeing what's out there isn't as appealing to me now as it might have been at one point.
You don't think anything's gonna surprise you out there? There's nothing that could come your way that would be like, oh, I'd never thought of that, but I really like it.
There's definitely things that will surprise me, but I'm very lucky that I work in the watch industry and I get to experience some of these things and learn about them like before I need to make a purchasing decision. So I guess that's the big caveat there, is that I'm very fortunate that I don't need to like take a chance on owning a watch to experience it anymore. So
yeah, I do like the idea of getting new experiences, and I know we've talked about it before, but the nice part about having like an accessible, approachable like group of collectors that meet up once a month or something like that is a great way to have those experiences with watches and just kind of get to know yourself better, like what feels good. Because I think it's a big difference. There's a lot of watches that I really like, and I'm sure there's a ton of watches that you really like that either like I just can't pull off or can't afford or whatever it is. Like I don't feel like I have to own it.
Absolutely.
And I think the more experiences you get with watches, the more you kind of like, okay, I really like that, but there's this one thing about it that kind of like irks me that I can't. Just not going to cross that line.
There's a lot of watches that I'm really happy to be able to enjoy like once a month at those collector meetups that I go to. I saw the Zenith poker chip, by the way.
What was that like in the flesh?
It's incredible. I immediately became pretty jealous. The loom is just fantastic, and like the strap is loomed too, which is pretty fun. But the dial's incredible. There's just so much. It's great, and it wears really well. It's that titanium material that Zenith, it's like it's finished in a very particular way, but it's very light and easy to wear, and it's a great watch.
That's cool. I've definitely was very tempted by that watch. I like that watch a lot. The dial is just like it almost defies explanation. Like it's something that you just have to like see a picture of. If you're listening to this on your headphones and you're walking about, check us out on YouTube. We have YouTubes that we put this on now, and we'll put a picture of the watch over in the corner somewhere here. But and it was weird because seeing the original watch that it's based on, it was like a clean sheet. So like it's a totally different vibe, but it takes kind of some of the same details and then totally changes them into. Like it doesn't look, the original one looks like, okay, that's like, you know, early 90s, late 80s, kind of like weird funkiness or whatever. But this looks like a contemporary art piece or something like that.
Oh, yeah, very much so. It kind of reminds me of that, the name escapes me, but the Defy 21 that was made in collaboration with the visual artist earlier this year. That's the one. It's kind of a similar, similar vibe to that, just like ultra contemporary, and it's very cool, and it's definitely a spin on the original, which it borrows like the poker chip design on the sub dials, but like almost nothing else. Like the colors are different, and obviously the case shape is completely different. It's a really cool piece,
and it's all black, right? Is it like black, or did it not feel like that aggressive?
So it's more of like a subdued kind of gray, color. It's the same material and color tone as the shadow.
The A384 shadow.
Same titanium material and finishing as that, but in the larger case size. But it wears great and feels great. So I have
an A384, the steel one with the panda dial, right? The white dial and the black sub dials. I like that because it's like that funky case that I like. It's a great size. And it's an El Primero, right? Like it's a great movement. But it is definitely like stewing on me that maybe that could be a good like trade opportunity to go from that A384 to the poker chip. I don't know.
I kind of like the idea of having like one of each case shape. Like I think they complement each other.
So you're just saying really just well. Buy the poker chip.
Yeah, I'm like, well, just I
have
mean,
them
or
obviously just have them both.
Yeah, I mean, so the poker chip is it's sold out. So I think I don't know how easy that would be to buy on the secondhand market. There were only 100 of them, I think.
Oh, there was only 100 made. Wow.
I'm sure they'll start popping up. But I kind of like the idea of having, if you're into the El Primero, I kind of like the idea of having like one of each case shape.
Yeah, I like the El Primero. I do like that case shape a lot. If you were able to get a poker chip, congratulations. And if you are interested in the trade deal or selling it, even maybe hit me up.
My friend who has the poker chip is probably going to hit you up now because he listens to the podcast. And so like expect a DM.
All right. And Zach's friend, hit me up and we'll see what we can work out. I have a lot of other watches too.
He's like watch out for Blake's DMs coming in.
And the more I think about this, the more maybe I will put like just some random selection of three of my watches up in a thread and say, throw me a trade offer of whatever you got and just see what comes my way.
Yeah, that'd be pretty,
that could be fun content in 2022, I think. Blake's adventures in watch trading. I think that'd be
good. And then like I would have to take one of them up. Like I would have to do one of them.
Yeah.
Just to try it out. Right. I don't know. I might end up regretting something like that. I like the idea of that. That poker chip is really cool. Another watch that just shipped, I just received today, actually, was the IWC what's it called? It's the pilot's chronograph.
Pilot's chronograph.
41 millimeters. The CO3 that they did with Collective, and it's got the like matte gray dial within the loom plots. Even are like gray on it. It's really hard to describe, but in pictures, well, it's hard to photograph actually. But in the flesh, it's pretty cool looking. I think they did a really nice job with this dial. And I'm glad they did it. We had Gabe on the podcast not too long ago. Check that episode out if you want to hear more about it. I don't know if we talked. Yeah, we did. It was like the yeah, that was when they actually revealed the watch. Yeah, so those just shipped.
Discussed it. Yeah,
there's I think they did 125 of them. The back is really cool with that black rotor that spins. Mm. It's pretty sharp. I will contest that I think it should have gotten the same dial that the Tribute to 3705 got with the
squared
outline.
Off hour hands.
Yeah, with the squared off hour hands, and it's a slightly different. Numerals, like the shape of the numbers, the typeface is a little bit different. But even just the squared off hands, I think would have been fabulous on this. I know that it's like broadsword, I guess is what you'd call it. Kind of their thing on these things now. So it's fine. I'm not terribly fond of that shape of hand. But it doesn't offend me to the point of like, I can't look at my wrist when I've got this thing on. I like this quite a bit. And I know I've talked a lot about the actual Tribute to 3705, which was like one of my biggest surprise watches this year that I really loved. I put that in like the top five as well, releases. So yeah, that's a cool one. Maybe we'll do something on that watch soon. You got to try on a 41 millimeter I keep wanting to say big pilot. It's not a big pilot. It's just a pilot's chronograph.
Yeah, so I was able to try one on recently, and it's really really nice really nice case size. I was impressed with that watch.
Yeah. Nice. So now they've got these new things where the strap system. It's like a quick release, quick change.
Yeah.
So it's like a little tab or something on there where they just kind of flip right out, and it's a it's just a regular spring bar. Well, I shouldn't say, I don't know if it's a regular spring bar or if it's like a thicker spring bar or something like that goes in there. So now I guess I can go down that route and get all kinds of quick change straps for it.
That was one of my favorite things about the Big Pilot 43 that I reviewed earlier in the year. It used that same system and made it super super convenient just to swap out the bracelet like really easily. Love that. It's great.
Any other, I'm sure we'll do something like, our favorite watches of the year. Is there any watches that stand out for you that you would say were in your top five releases, this year?
Putting me on the spot here, the top watches of the year.
It's hard to go through. It's hard to think back on all. Josh, you got a favorite watch of the year, the release of the year that you've heard us talk about?
Honestly, surprisingly, because I'm not that into dress watches all that much, but I really like if it released this year, the MR01. Like, I really...
Oh, yeah, the Baltic.
So, yeah, really like that watch a lot. That's something that's very much on my radar for next year. It's something that I think I might pick up.
You get into that dress watch game. You can put the right strap on that, though, and dress it down.
Yeah.
No problem at all. In dress watches, is that going to be the thing for it? Is that what we're going to see a lot of next year too? Is that where the winds are blowing in that direction?
I mean, I think we're kind of already seeing it. And now that I'm thinking about watches that came out this year, another watch that I acquired was that Anordain Model 1, which is dressy watch. And that's a watch that we made in collaboration with them with the special precious metal galvanized dials. So cheating a little bit to call that favorite watch of the year. And the Model 1 obviously isn't new, but I do think that people are kind of interested in branching outside of like the sports watch sphere a little bit. Mm-hmm. I just get a sense of that just from being on social media and talking to people that, maybe like the mania around like sports watches is kind of like fading, and people are just gonna, look to other segments of other watch segments. Yeah. But I've always loved those types of watches. So I hope that brands kind of catch on and continue to make those and really kind of continue to develop those ideas. It'd be great.
Speaking of the mania, let's close out with we can mention this watch by a brand, Patek Philippe, did a collaboration. I don't know if it was a collaboration. They just made a watch for their retail partner, Tiffany, with the Tiffany Blue dial. Sold at auction for over $6 million. I think $6.4 million with the buyer's premium in there. Do you have any thoughts on that, Zach? Were you the buyer?
I was not. I was not the buyer. I did not. I did not place a bid on that watch.
Not even a bid?
I mean,
come on.
No. So a couple of thoughts. Like, first of all, it's like the, it was for charity. So I think that's a good, good thing. It benefited, benefited a good cause, by all accounts. So, so that's nice. And that also, I think, probably has a practical effect in driving up the, the final price, because there are, tax implications to that. And, people are more, more likely to pay kind of an insane sum of money if a charity is involved. So that's a good thing. But it's nuts. It's a crazy amount of money to spend on a steel sports watch with I think that watch is like a $50,000 retail price, which itself is kind of like insane if you think about it. Cause it's a steel watch. It's not a precious metal or anything.
Steel time and date.
Yep. So, it's crazy. I don't think it's a great look for the watch industry. Like, one thing I've heard some people say is that, like, it puts a spotlight on the watch industry, and like, it's a good thing. Like, all publicity is good publicity, and like that sort of attitude. Like, I don't know. Like, I have friends who are not watch nerds who I like sent them links about this, and they were just like, this is gross. Like, it's gross.
They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear about it. Yeah.
So like, I don't know that I necessarily agree that it like, it benefits us as a whole. When people are spending that kind of money on a watch, I don't think it's a great look.
Yeah.
But
good cause and
good cause. And, maybe this means that like things have kind of peaked a little bit, and we'll start to see like, a correction or a retraction or something, or I don't know. I don't know what happens next, but.
And 2022 just went to hold my beer. let's see what happens. I'll be curious to see too. For real, congrats to Arlbox and Arthur Tuchot, Paul Boutros, and all the people over there at Philips on the results of that. And again, they've raised a lot of money for a great cause. So good on them. So I take it the watch itself, if you were offered one, would you wear it around? Would you,
Oh, no, of course not.
It's not your style.
I'd put it on the credit card and then immediately flip it.
Okay.
Like, I'd have a...
You've just been banned from every Tiffany's
retailer. Well, I wasn't going to be offered what I knew, but like, I think anyone who says otherwise is, already quite a bit wealthier than I am. Like, it would be financially irresponsible of me not to flip it. So
I second that notion.
You second that? All right. Well, I'll say if I had all the money in the world and I was a great Tiffany customer and they offered me one, like, I'm not going to flip it so I can make an extra whatever. Like, I probably don't care. Like, I would just wear it around in my, jeans and t-shirts.
I'd worry for your
safety. But if you're Jay-Z and you are offered that watch either for free or, for a retail price, like, you're already a billionaire. I think quite literally.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the difference?
And you don't need to.
Just wear it around. If you actually like it, wear it around and, don't be shy with it.
Sure. But for little old me, like, I don't, in my current financial situation, it would be irresponsible for me not to.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. But again, I wouldn't be offered that watch because I haven't spent millions of dollars worth of in diamonds at a Tiffany store, over the course.
I think I'm a little bit shy of that one as well. But congratulations if you did get one from Tiffany. Tell us if you plan on wearing it. if you were theoretically offered one, would you wear it around? Do you like it enough to wear it? I'm sure right after the Jay-Z's of the world, we were like right there, as
probably. Yeah, top. Check the spam folder in the Worn and Wound info email. There might be a message from Tiffany asking if we want one. So
hey, if they heard me saying I would just wear it around, like it's meant to be used, then maybe they'd be like, ah, somebody has to wear it around who's not Jay-Z. You know, let's just give it to this random asshole.
Yeah.
Go wander around Madison, Wisconsin and St. Louis, Missouri, and when nobody would be.
That's the 2022 Tiffany ad campaign.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Just me.
Right there. That's it.
Schlubbing it up in a Tiffany 5711. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, let us know what your favorite releases of the year. We will go down those rabbit holes soon. Let us know if you have any watch related resolutions heading into the new year. We want to hear about them. And we will hold you to them, of course. If this is our, well, I think we'll probably have maybe one more podcast before the end of the year. If you're traveling, safe travels, have a wonderful holiday season, and until next time, take care.